Amen. As we turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, or rather chapter 4.
And what did I say? Ephesians chapter 4?
From verse 8. It reads in this manner, if it is found. That is Ephesians 4,
verse 8.
You'll just say amen if you found it.
Amen.
Let's do this. Amen. It reads in this manner, if it is found. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Ngalokho uthi esenyukele phezulu wathumba abathunjiweyo wapha abantu izipho.
Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?
Kepha lokho ukuthi wenyuka kuthini uma kungesikho ukuthi wake wehla ezindaweni zomhlaba eziphansi na?
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Owehlayo nguyena owenyukele futhi ngaphezu kwamazulu onke ukuze agcwalise konke.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
Nguyena futhi owanika abanye ukuba babe ngabapostoli, abanye abaprofeti, abanye abavangeli, abanye abelusi nabafundisi.
For the perfecting, this is where I want you to stay with me. For the perfecting of the saints, which is the first point. For the work of the ministry, the second point. For the edifying of the body of Christ, the third point. Till we all come in the unity of the faith.
Size sifinyelele sonke ebunyeni.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Nasekwazini indodana kaNkulunkulu.
Unto a perfect man.
Ebudodaneni obupheleleyo.
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Esilinganisweni sobukhulu sokugcwala kukaKristu.
Amen. So he didn't just give some apostles, some prophets, just for the sake of doing that. There is a purpose why he gave.
Akabenzanga abanye abaprofeti, abanye abavangeli, abanye abafundisi. Kunenhloso ukuthi yinani enze njalo.
And I like it when it say he gave some, not all apostles.
Ngiyayithanda uma bayisho ngale ndlela ukuthi unikeze abanye, hayi bonke.
Amen. The greatest danger in our time is impersonation. Amen. A misplaced gift can never be effective. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this evening we approach your throne of mercy. You are such a good God. Where would we be had you not chosen us?
Amen.
That's why this morning we have come to the house of the Lord just to salute you.
Amen.
For being the kind of God that you are in our lives. We love you with all that we have because you first loved us when you died on the cross. And this evening we have read the portion of the scripture. I am not from a seminary. I've got no knowledge of my own that I can use this morning to teach the church. But I'm relying on the author to come down and speak to his own people in the manner that he wants to speak, dear God.
Amen.
Lord, I don't want to speak on your behalf. I want you to speak for yourself.
Yes. Amen.
So that when we live at this place, the glory should never come to the preacher, but the glory should go to the Almighty
yes.
God. As much as you'll speak to them, I expect that you'll speak to me. That whatever you are going to do in this place, let it run so harmoniously that it should show indeed that it is God on the move. As I commit everything to you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. While you take your seats for a couple of minutes. Amen. And greeting all of you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you picked up that normally Wednesday weather is terrible? Has anybody picked it up? Monday you've got good weather. Tuesday, good weather. Wednesday, during the day, good weather. Towards the evening, it's terrible. It doesn't matter whether it's summer or winter. Summer, it could not rain on Monday. Tuesday it doesn't rain, but Wednesday it rains. What's special about Wednesday that the devil is always doing something there? Amen. I'll leave the answer with you. Amen. But this evening I'm not on Wednesday and the challenges of Wednesday. But I'm on the fivefold ministry. Amen. In this assembly, we still believe in the fivefold ministry. I hope we still believe in the fivefold ministry. Amen. And this, the as we have seen that the fivefold ministry, it has the sevenfold purpose for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all we come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I believe if God gave something and it is to achieve a specific purpose, you can never achieve that purpose when you bypass what God has put in place. In the absence of the fivefold ministry, what I've spoken about shall never be achieved. And actually, if the bride could be without the fivefold ministry, it is going to create an imbalance in the bride. Amen. It's like eating the same diet day in, day out. Amen. You see, if you just eat pap and flesh, and without vegetables, you become full, but you can end up being malnourished. The vitamins the nutrients. Amen.
Amen.
If you concentrate on one line of diet. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. Like some man said to me, he doesn't eat vegetables because he eats the cow and the cow ate vegetables. Amen. So it's quite a misplaced diet.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to have the green stuff on the plate.
Amen.
Amen. Have the your diet must be diverse. And the same with the bride. Every minister that stands in front of the bride, God has got a special vitamin that he has put in that man's ministry. And when you eat, then you gain from that vitamin that is in that ministry. Amen. But the vitamins, there must be the variation of vitamins. You cannot just have too much iron. Amen. There must be variation and a balance. Amen. Are we together? Amen. So that is why even in the assembly, sometimes when we bring different ministers, they can bring a vitamin that the pastor did not bring. Amen. Maybe it's a quite an unpopular statement for a pastor to say that. There could be, as Brother Mchab mentioned, a lamb and a sheep. Sometimes the pastor can reach a sheep and not connect with the lamb. But when another minister comes, he can connect with the lamb. I hope I'm not speaking Greek. You understand what I'm talking about. Amen. As a pastor can preach a sermon, and it can go over your head. But somebody comes and preaches the sermon from a different angle. And as he preaches, then it dawns on you that, no, that is exactly what the pastor spoke about. That's why ministries must be complementary. Amen. When ministries are complementary, then it brings the desired results. And if I speak on the bride on a wider scale, the reason today there is spiritual fatigue amongst the people, the apostle wants to be the apostle alone and takes any other office to be of none effect. A pastor would want to be a pastor alone. A teacher wants to be a teacher alone. And this, sometimes they come like a fashion. There's a season of teachers. Everybody wants to be a teacher on the land. And then thereafter comes, I think now we are in the season of, is it the prophets or apostles? Yeah, now it's the prophets. And there was a season of apostles. But let me tell you, there is no lesser or bigger gift. Every gift that God has put in the bride is to minister for a specific need. Before I come to my quotations, if the most undermined fella is an evangelist. But he's the one that is the most critical. critical.
Because
how can they come in unless the evangelist brings them?
Hallelujah.
Evangelist has got a special gift.
He can
move into an area, maybe be at a funeral. They've got a way just to get their people's emotions worked up.
Pierce
people's hearts. And after say, repent or perish.
Hey,
those guys, they don't spare feelings. Hallelujah. Now, if you can have, and sometimes as the church grows, it comes to a point where people say, we are well taught, we don't need an evangelist. We need the thunders. We need the deeper things of God. The greatest danger is a well-taught church that is sinful. The greatest stumbling block is a well-taught believer that does not live right. And if you can find a well-taught believer that is not living right, you may find that there is an imbalance of the ministry. Are you with me this evening, brother? That's why we need that balance. Amen. I like the quotation. They asked the prophet one quotation. In one quotation, if I get it, it just comes before I read other quotations. Yeah? Amen. It was the church asking him a question. And Brother Branham was quite a humble man. Yes, I found it. They say, and you must remember, there are times when leaders mislead people. And there are times when followers mislead leaders. If you mislead them at some point in time, they shall mislead you as well. You know what I'm talking about. The prophets, they ask, it's a very simple question, but it is pregnated with issues.
Let's
say question 349.
Question 349.
Now, Brother Branham,
manje mfowethu Branham,
is it true that no one should preach but you? Isn't it it sounds very complimentary. Amen. But it goes, says, we have seen you ordain men. We don't believe you do that if they were not to preach. Where did this question come from? You get a sense that whoever was asking this question was sitting with other people, that only Brother Branham must preach. And this person, it was in their hearts that let's ask him so that he speak for himself. He says, mercy, brother, sister, whoever told you that nobody is to preach but me, I would sure be a poor subject to God with all that. No, every man that feels a call of God upon his life, get into the ministry and start preaching, we need them. Hallelujah. The men of God are anointed all over to preach the gospel. There's just many that's more eligible and more worthy. More of anything to preach than me. I'm just a little humble person laying out here. You know what I mean. Any man that's called of God needs to preach the gospel. Would it have been wrong if the prophet could say, yes, I'm the prophet of the hour. I'm the one that must bring the truth. But that is not how the prophet was like. The ministry is like, I don't know whether it will be a good thing to speak about a parable, a soccer. Amen. When you've got a soccer team, the goal scorer, as much as he's visible, but he is not the only one that is important. The ball cannot hit the net unless there is a build up. There might be a guy that never celebrated a goal. But without him, the ball will never get into the net. So it is about the teamwork. And a good goal scorer, after he has scored, he runs to the teammates to thank them that it is not my goal, but it is the goal of the collective. A real minister will always go back to other ministers and say, this is a team effort. Hallelujah. A teacher can never teach unless the evangelist brings. A prophet can never prophesy unless there is a prophet, the church to prophesy in. The pastor can't pastor unless the evangelist brings them in. So the pastor must appreciate the evangelist and say, my brother, you are doing a good job. You need to be supported there. But the danger part is when a pastor undermines an evangelist and the evangelist begins to count how many in church came through me. Then the problem starts. I hope we are together. Amen. Let's go on here and read a few things here. Amen. So you get that it must be a team effort. Brother Branham says, and sometime where we've got to, a ministry must have a goal. What does the ministry exist for? Before we get to the fivefold, where are we taking people to? What is the main purpose? If the purpose is just to have a bigger group, it's the wrong purpose. But the prophet, I like this quotation, it comforts me a lot of times. He says, just take the minister today. If he has, this is just to give in the message, discernment of spirit. Just take the minister today. If he has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit is critical. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are disqualified from preaching.
Let
me take it further. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are disqualified from getting
married.
Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you cannot do anything in the Church of the Living
God. So,
from the to the pastor, to the laity, everybody must be filled with God's Spirit. Because if you are not led by the Spirit, then you will be led by your ego. Are you here, people? Including you as singers. It's not just about the talent. The world has got a talent in abundance. And we do not want the worldly talent. But we need the Spirit of God behind your talent. And if we can check that there is no spirit behind the talent, we've got every right to reject the talent. And actually, everyone, gifts and callings are without repentance. If I speak to you, maybe for a lack of a better word, maybe I'm gifted with words. But that doesn't qualify me to be a minister. But the Spirit that is behind the gift, that is one that will qualify you. And if there could be a gift without a spirit, the gift must be rejected. Yes, maybe you look me in a funny way. Gifts without callings are without repentance. Hallelujah. Michael Jackson had a gift. But that gift can never be used in the Church of God. But yet it's God that gave him the gift. Hallelujah. But the gift or the owner of the gift must be converted in order for the gift to be credible. The danger about the church today, we embrace a gift without the conversion. And it erases the church. Are you here this evening? I hope we are here. Now, just take the minister today. If he has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. Don't ever go anywhere without God's Spirit. You become vulnerable. Let me tell you something. Every time you try to do something for God, the devil is going to attack you. Amen. I mean, maybe you do not understand. Sometimes when we come here and preach for you, you don't know what we go through before we come here. The danger sometimes is that before God allows you to preach a sermon, he wants you to experience it. And when you experience the sermon before it's preached, it's difficult. It looks like God is taking you through a fairy furnace. I don't know. Are the ministers the witnesses here? That know what I'm talking about. Sometimes he allows you to preach it. And after you've preached it, he comes. To allow where to test whether it was it your conviction. You know, I was a little young boy when I started preaching. And one day it was at a convention. And I was going past two elderly men that were talking. And for some reason I overheard what they were talking about. I heard this other one pleading with the other elderly man and say, please don't allow my son to preach. Because if you allow him, I don't know what the devil will do with him. It shocked me and say, I don't have a father to plead my case. What is the danger there?
And
then I realized that the more you preach, the devil puts you in the firing line. And without his spirit, you won't make it. But let me tell you something. We need more ministers that can take the gospel forward. Hallelujah. The church needs more ministers. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham says ministering is the highest form of the ministry. I hope we are together. You know, if he has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he knows that if he preaches that way, it's going to cut his fame down. If you want to be goody-goody, don't go into the ministry. In the ministry, you can even offend your wife. You can even offend your family. Yes, I've experienced that when I was growing up.
I'll
preach in church. When I got home, they say, what were you talking about? Hallelujah. And I was just a young boy. I said, these people should be happy that I was preaching. But not knowing the certain things that I was hitting on, they were hitting home. Hallelujah. But that's what God will do. It was not me, it was God, but he uses you, and they will come to you. So if you want to be popular, never enter the ministry. But if you want to be honest, enter the ministry. And you'll see the more you move with the truth, it cuts down your fame. Hallelujah. I was thinking this today. I say, goodness, being a pastor is quite a roller coaster. Amen. Because one person can come to you and say, that's a hogwash. Amen. I think ufuna ukuthi idoti. Yes, it's idoti.
Oh, crash.
Another one comes and say, what a blessing.
Omunye azi athi yisibusiso leso.
And you say, am I the same person?
Uyibuza ukuthi ingabe ngumuntu ofanayo na?
To that one is hogwash.
Loya uthi udoti.
To that one is a blessing.
Loya uyisibusiso.
Can you see the roller coaster?
Uyabona ukwehlela.
You need to know who called you.
Kusena maso kubizile.
Amen.
I hope we are together. If he has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he knows that if he preaches that word,
he's
going to cut his fame down.
He's
going to put him in a little bitty church somewhere. Or maybe out on the street. But he knows that something in his heart is burning. He sees the coming of the Lord. He doesn't care whether he has a big church or a little church. He doesn't care whether he has today's food or no food tomorrow. He doesn't care whether he has a good clothes or doesn't have good clothes.
He
is only mindful of one thing. That's the very life in him, within him, crying out. And he's trying to achieve something for the glory of God. And that man in doing so will act the very life of the spirit that's in him. He will act it out. Hallelujah. The ministry sometimes is not about booming. Sometimes God will lead you to shilling cages. And sometimes he will lead you to the blossoming. But don't look whether the thing is blossoming or is shrinking. You remain with the call of God. And how do you remain with the call of God? That life that was in him must be in you. So it doesn't matter whether it blossoms or it shines, but it remains the truth. Are we together?
So,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Neither would any servant of God take glory. I've seen in the ministry, a lot of times we pastors, we can withstand criticism. You can tell us whatever you want to tell us. Pastors have got a thick skin. Hallelujah. Our emotions are far, far buried down. Amen. And they can withstand criticism. But there is one altar where pastors and ministers get weaker. It is the, at the altar of flattery. Hallelujah. We have been told you are the only one that can see it. A man that can withstand criticism. When they come to that altar, they all bow down. So my question, have you got the ability, even you as church, have you got the ability to withstand criticism and flattery at the same time? Because sometimes the demon disguises itself as flattery. You remember the possessed girl that came after Paul? You, the servants of the Most High God. And these were the people that were rejected. They would have turned around and said, "The sister has got a revelation." But Paul knew the same demon that criticized me is the same demon that is praising me. So, you've got to be balanced in life. Young girls, listen to me. Yes, they will praise you. They will come with flattery. Tell you goody goody. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And not long. And imagine, young girl, you are on campus. People are making fun of you, how you dress. But a certain young boy comes out and say, among all these girls, you are the one that is above board. You are a lady. Then you see the devil in those that are criticizing. Then you see God in this one. But this one is more dangerous than those.
Amen.
That's happened many a time. Can you recognize the devil when he praises you? Yes, brothers, they will say this to you. You are an upright man. We like how you think. Because a believer is attractive. If you are not attractive as a believer, something is wrong. A believer, wherever they go, they are attractive. People want to know, what do you think? Why do you live like that? And the more they get interest, some wants to derail you. And you need to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Neither would any servant of God take a gift of God and try to glorify himself. Or anything else. But his right achievement is to do something to the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, you know, when, as you are ministering, there are times where God will confuse you deliberately. You come, you preach a wonderful sermon. And the church just looks at you. Okay. Then you come next time. You preach, they get excited. Glory to God. Amen. Standing up. Not long, the very same brother was standing up. One day he's hit by a cold front. He's just looking at you. And when Mr. C is, am I doing something wrong? You even may go and take the notes that made him jump. He just looks at you. And when they are not saying amen, you may find that that is the very day when they heard you correctly. And you go away defeated and say, goodness, was it a bad sermon? But not long, the very sermon that was bad is blessing the people. You know why God is doing that? He wants to humble you. It's not about you, it's my work.
Amen.
Because if you get slapped, they clap for you every Sunday, when your head becomes bigger. Amen. Do you see the variation in the ministry? Amen. I'm just okay. Let's continue a little bit. We are going to get into things. Amen. And the prophet says, in the message,
Revelation chapter 5,
where it speaks that any man that has not a doctrine has no ministry. Without a doctrine, you've got no ministry. A church without a doctrine is not a church. The church must stand on something. And must have a position on things. If we say seven thunders, what is the standpoint of this church? Seven seed. What's the third standpoint? Because without a doctrine, it's just a motivational talk. There must be certain things about this church that this church must be prepared to die for. And the doctrine is critical for you to know the doctrine of the church, because you will know when the church goes off. If you don't know the doctrine, how will you know when we adhere to the doctrine? Yes, sometimes you can say, yes, the message is the doctrine, we've got the spoken word. How many doctrines have come from the very same spoken word? You can say, our church only says what the prophet says, as he said. On
tape.
There is a church that can take out and take somewhere where the prophet said the seventh seal is not revealed. And they are taking it from the prophet and say, this is what the tape says. But hallelujah. So what is happening? The doctrine, it's what we extract from the prophet, but in line with the spirit that brought it. Are we together? That's why in we don't take one quotation and run. One brother took one quotation and just came and blasted us. You bunch of weak Christians. You even eat eggs when the prophet has forbidden eating eggs. And he read it. Hallelujah. But you don't take one quotation and run. There must be consistency. Is this what he said at the beginning of his ministry? Is this what he said during his
his ministry? Is that what he said at the end of the ministry?
Yes.
If you are a reader, you'll know that the prophet grew as well. Before the seals, he puts the, he says the body, soul, and spirit. After the seals, he says the body, the spirit, and the soul. Are we together? So you must run with it. You don't just take one thing and run. Before the seals, when he speaks about the white horse rider, he speaks about him as if he's the Holy Ghost. In the midst of the ten visions. But after the seals, God showed him that that's not it. So you cannot hold 10 visions and say, yes, it is here. No, the prophet moved there. Because the prophet grows. That's exactly happened with Moses. And a prophet mistake is still right.
He put a little prophet lilungile.
Amen.
Amen.
Moses.
Amen.
God said, hit the rock once. Moses was short tempered, hit it twice. Which was to reflect that Christ will be hit once. But Moses hit it twice. No wonder the prophet in 1963 comes and says, they have crucified Christ again. To show that when Moses hit it twice, now it was in line. God will never abandon his prophet. I will rather be wrong with the prophet's wrong, because God will never disown the prophet, than to be right with the people, because God will always stay with his prophet. We thank God for the prophet in the end time.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me, folks?
In number one.
Let's read this one. Sure. We have just touched the surface. We are thankful for our trustees. Revelation chapter 5. We are thankful for our deacons. It's teamwork. Hallelujah. We are thankful for our congregation. We are thankful for our pastor. We are thankful for every gift that he has given into the church. And we pray that he will give these men understanding that they will never get off on the wrong side, but stay right straight in the middle of the road with it, and never be exalted or anything. Whenever you do that, you are finished right there. Just stay humble with it. And any man that has not a doctrine has no ministry. So if you don't think that your congregation should hear the tape which was doctrine, then keep it from them. But I'm just expressing my own opinion and my own feelings and my own revelation of the word of God. There must be a doctrine. Let me read this one before we wrap up. I'm just laying the foundation. The most important thing, one of the most important things that we must master. Now remember this, especially you young preachers and lay members alike. There's one thing that we've got to master. If we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot where we think we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've
We've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the things and lay it aside so that God can use us and make a complete surrender. We cannot use one ability. We've got to make a complete surrender and come to God. You've got to surrender to Him both soul, body, and spirit. And everything that you have should be surrendered to God in order that He can work His will in you and me. That's how we need to do it,
lads.
Amen. In my, I've preached to small groups, to big groups. I've always said, if I come to preach and I don't become nervous, something is wrong. That means now I'm used to it. Nervousness is healthy for a minister because it brings respect. Because sometimes we stand before front of the people and you wonder, if God leaves you now, what are you going to say? Then you've got to rely on Him. Hallelujah. Even you as a church, you've got to rely on Him. I'm just laying foundations so where we're going
to
show what is an apostle, what is a pastor, what is an evangelist, what is a prophet. Let me say this one, I must say it tonight. A gift of prophecy,
it's
subject under the elders. If somebody prophesies,
yes,
it still must come and be reviewed and check whether it comes to pass. And if it does not come to pass, we need to go back to the brother and say it was not God. But if it comes to pass, then we go back to the brother and say, brother, you were used by God. Here's a danger. The brother comes and prophesies.
A prophet.
It happens. He prophesied.
A prophet.
It happens. Now we make him a superman.
My sense,
we're no longer reviewing him. Whatever comes to him is thou says the Lord. That is dangerous. And later you will see how dangerous it is. A gift of prophecy must be subject to the doctrine. It must never change the doctrine.
Yeah.
Are you here? But a lot of times, see, Brother Msizi sees things. They happen. The day he starts his own thing, we don't even see. Because why? We're here worshipping him. This brother sees things. Amen. Me, if a man sees something, every time, even if it happens, I will review it when he comes with another one. As if I'm not even aware that you once said something that happened. I'm just keeping myself honest.
Because
prophecy can hijack the church.
Yeah.
And not long you don't realize that it's a demon. Hallelujah. Yes. Especially in our time. Amen. Because pastors are naughty during our time. Amen. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. These big pastors that you see are very naughty. They are connected to other people that you are not, don't know, even know. Amen. There's a man in Mozambique that he is, because I'm not afraid of him, I'll call him by name. Gasikaki. The prophet Gasikaki.
Prophet Gasikaki.
Yes. I once even saw his video. He was sitting in the air. Yes, not taking chances. And he promises. You choose as a minister. Whether I give you gift of prophecy. And gift of miracles. And pastors have flooded there. Yes, they received it there. And they come and prophesy right. But the bride has got the weight to test whether something is genuine. Don't fall for anything unless you have tested it by the way. Because gifts and callings are without repentance. We shall continue. God bless you. Oh, we can say, Jehovah, mighty warrior. In prayer for us.
Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is Jehovah is your name.
Jehovah is your name.
Jehovah
is your name.
You are a mighty warrior.
That
you are a mighty warrior.
Mighty warrior.
So grateful, Father, because each and every time we come here, Father, we come and we learn new things, Father. And every time we come here, Father, we are strengthened, Father, so that we know, Father, what is it that we are facing, Father, and how to approach even the evil one, Father, that we are facing.
Yes.
And Father, we are so happy, Father, that even this day, Father, you've given us the fivefold ministries, Father.
Yes.
That of Father of apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, Father. Because Father, that was perfecting of the body of the bride, Father, so that, Father, we may be reach the stage that you want us to reach, Father. So that, Father, we may be strengthened, Father, to be able to face the evil one, Father. Because we know that if, Father, we are strengthened, Father, we are fed correctly, Father, by those fivefold ministry, Father. Even the devil doesn't stand any chance, Father. Because, Father, we know, Father, each and every time each one of them comes here, Father, they feed us word, Father. It's the kind of nutrients that our body, which is our bodies, our soul, Father, even our spirits, Father, requires, Father. So that, Father, we may be able, Father, to be strengthened, Father, and defeating, Father. Because, Father, we know, Father, that each and every time, Father, you come here to us, Father, our life, Father, is not the same, Father. Strengthen, Father. We become we are taken from glory to glory, Father. And there is a precept upon precept that is laid upon us, Father. So that, Father, we may be the perfect bride that we require, Father. So that, Father, when one day, Father, when all is done, Father, we may be taken up in the rapture, Father. Because that is what is required, Father. So that, Father, we may have all those seven virtues upon us, Father, with divine love, keeping all of them, Father. So that, Father, we may be perfect, Father. Because we believe that as long as the Holy Spirit, Father, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, which is you, Father, which is you, the Holy Spirit, Father, we will be perfect, Father. And if, when we are perfect, Father, we'll be ready for rapture, Father.
Yes.
We pray, Father, believe in this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. The prophet says, the Holy Ghost in you is God made flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe study, but let's just say Kiseki Leki Jesu will be dismissed with a hymn.
Kiseki Leki Jesu ki duti.
Yes.